fire, air. Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony. Then, everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Only the Avatar, master of all four elements, could stop them. But when the world needed him most, he vanished. 100 years passed, and my brother and I discovered the new Avatar, an airbender named Aang. And although his airbending skills are great, he still has a lot to learn before he's ready to save anyone. But I believe Aang can save the world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to What's Appa, a rewatch podcast of the greatest show ever, Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm Joyce.
I'm Justin.
And my name's Anand. And this week, we want to give a special shout out to our friend Shreya, who read the intro.
This is episode 43 of our podcast, where we'll be discussing Sokka's master. Let's get into it.
Some fun facts. First, we're all recording in from New York today, so exciting stuff. Yeah, so fun facts about this episode. Prior to the beginning of the final season, so book three, the show's creators actually traveled around Iceland in addition to their cool, team building exercises. They were gathering inspiration for what the Fire Nation landscape would look like and inspired a lot of the landscapes in this episode, as we'll see later.
So cool.
So we start off with Team Avatar and they're kind of stargazing, looking up at the sky. And then you see this one star blink and it becomes brighter than the other ones and crashes into the ground with like a huge explosion. And it was a meteor shower. And one comment here is that Sokka says it kind of makes you realize how insignificant we are, which is pretty cool because he thinks he's insignificant, which he kind of is. And then the other comment here is that this is one of the few fire things that are blue in the entire show. One of them obviously being Azula, and then the other one being one of the dragons. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Good catch.
Yeah. So they're trying to put out the fire, and like all the benders are doing like really cool stuff, and Aang bends a bit of water and to help put out the fire, but then he soaks Sokka in the process, and Sokka is very sad because he's insignificant. And then we cut to Uncle Iroh in the prison, because he's still in the prison, and he is looking kind of grizzled. He's like a homeless man. So basically this guard is bringing him food. He just like drops food on the ground, and Iroh like scurries up like a rat, and he starts like eating the pieces like quite animal-like off the ground.
Yeah, when his eyes go like wide and his eyes are like unfocused, he just looks like he's out of his mind.
Yeah.
They did it really well.
I just want to bring up an interesting fact. The name of the warden here is Warden Poon. And he has no other fun facts about him other than that. Like, if you try to look anything up, his name is Warden Poon. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, and then Iroh basically...
I actually didn't know what that meant for the longest time.
Yeah.
So this is a joke for the adults.
Yeah, well, this warden is kind of a dick. So, and then the guard, yeah, and basically, Warden Poon calls him a disgrace. He spits on him and he leaves. And then Iroh's like basically putting up a facade, and we learn because he like kind of sits up, back straight, crisscross applesauce, and smiles and starts eating like a civilized person.
Yeah, the next scene is Team Avatar in the village, and they're eating in the village, and Aang is like, oh, these people have no idea how close they were to getting toasted last night because they just saved them all from the meteor. And then Toph goes, ugh, the worst part about being disguised is we don't get the hero worship anymore. And Sokka's like sitting by himself away from the rest of the team and is like, boo-hoo, poor heroes. And Katara says, what's your problem? You haven't even touched your smoked sea slug.
So some fun facts about smoked sea slugs. We think they're actually after sea cucumbers. But more interestingly, apparently this is one of Sokka's favorite dishes. So clearly he's very, very out of it.
That's sad. That makes this even sadder.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Sokka's like, it's just all you guys can do all this awesome bending stuff. I can't fly around, okay? I can't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought this was a little bit emo for Sokka. It kind of comes up a little bit out of nowhere. I guess Justin prefacing it by the word all insignificant is interesting.
I think that, yeah, that was a good catch.
it does feel like out of place. It feels like, okay, this is the plot of the episode. We need to make Sokka feel insignificant. Because he's like pretty, he has a pretty big ego.
Yeah. Generally.
Like he's very self-assured most of the time, maybe too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so interesting. Mm. But it's kind of cool because this episode is a lot about identity. Like that's something that comes up in the sword training sessions. And so he finds his identity, even though it doesn't have to do with bending, which is cool. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess his ego is so big because he's, like, actually secretly insecure, you know? Mm. Like, he projects that type of confidence, but maybe... Yeah, it's weird that it comes out so, like, strongly
suddenly.
Here.
Suddenly. Yeah,
so. But it kind of does make sense. This is always something he's felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then Katara and the gang try to comfort him and tell him he's great. So they take him shopping.
Yep, they go shopping. And Sokka, is looking for something to reinvigorate his battling.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through a montage of trying out a bunch of different weapons. Sokka picks up, like, nunchucks, but fails, and picks up, like, a small dagger thing and, like, picks his teeth with it. And then meanwhile, Aang, like, tries this crazy costume and, like, rock music plays in mm-hmm. the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently this was inspired by a game called Soul Calibur, and there's this thing called a nightmare, which apparently is a pretty scary monster that inspired this costume.
Yeah, some other fun facts. Apparently this was inspired by an early toy design of Aang, where the basically Nickelodeon execs wanted something like tough to like sell to kids. But then, like, you know, Brian and Mike were like, it's Aang.
Not the vibe.
Yeah. Not at all. And apparently for the commentary of this episode, they said that the armor is a parody of certain fictional characters, as you said, Soul Calibur, and that they were asked to make Aang seem cooler. So there's a combination of all their separate ideas, like, kind of amalgamated into one. And it was the toy was called Battle Armor Aang.
Damn.
Yeah. And actually on the TV tropes for Wiki, this suit is used as the example for the scary impractical armor trope.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ends up tipping over and falling, so.
Yeah.
It's still Aang.
Yeah. So interesting that the studio is tied into some of the more practical jokes in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then we go back to Sokka, and, you know, he's still continuing to try a bunch of different weapons, and then he sees this beautiful sword hanging on the wall with the dragon casing sheath. And then the salesman approaches, and he's like, oh, you have a good eye. That's an original from Pian Dao, the greatest sword master and sword maker in the Fire Nation history. He lives up the road from here.
Yeah, so some fun facts about this guy. Apparently, he's the proprietor of the biggest vintage weapons store in the Fire Nation. So they're really lucking into a lot of things here.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he claims that the story of how he got this sword from Pian Dao is so secretive, he has to kill anyone he tells. So very, very crazy.
Shady.
And then the last thing is, I don't know if you guys noticed, he is also voiced by Greg Baldwin. So,
Interesting. Yeah, he also kind of resembles Iroh in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I didn't notice that. That's really cool.
He's got that, like, creepy old uncle energy.
Yeah. Speaking of creepy, I just feel like this line just did not sound very natural to me. Like, I just thought, wow, this is, like, an insane exposition line. Like, why would you go up to these random kids and be like, oh, that's from Pian Dao. He lives up the road from here. It's like, oh, okay, like, guess we should go visit them. Like, I think that was really funny.
He's a shill for Pian Dao.
Exactly.
He gets a kickback for every sword.
every student, every sword, yeah. But, yeah, so I thought that was just kind of funny.
Yeah, but Katara and Aang thinks that's a great idea. So they're like, yeah, you should get a master. We all have masters. So they decide to go talk to him.
Yeah, and I guess I just thought this was also kind of a bold idea because clearly he's Fire Nation. Like, you know, it's like everybody wants a master. Sokka's feeling down. You know, they're like, yeah, you should learn to get better at swords, but this guy is very, you know, in the Fire Nation, famous in the Fire Nation. I feel like it's just a little risky considering their position.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a huge waste of time.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like, we need to make Sokka feel better. That's priority number one on the agenda.
Yeah. Well,
like, you have the Allied forces. You're deep in German territory, and you find, like, the master rocket scientist. And you're like, let's make you let's get you in a master apprenticeship with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah. It does only take a day, though, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
He does
not that big of a waste of time. He learns everything in one day. But yeah, the next scene is back to Iroh, and it's just he's laying there, and then he just, like, suddenly starts doing sit-ups. And I think we kind of cut back to Iroh a few times this episode, but I think this is kind of cool because I think this is the moment where you see, like, the gears start to turn, and I feel like this is the moment where he gets the idea to escape.
Mm.
But I guess he was acting kind of weird in the last clip, too, so I don't know. Maybe he already had the idea, but he just, like, really randomly starts to work out starting from now.
So now we're back with Team Avatar, and they're at Piandao's castle. So a couple of fun facts here. They start banging on the door. The door knockers here are actually lion turtles. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Oh, I did not notice that. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the castle is bears some resemblance to a palace in Tibet. I'm definitely butchering this, but it's the Yongbalakang Palace. It's pretty cool. You can Google it and take a look. Yeah.
Yeah, one more thing, actually. On the door, they only show, like, up to halfway on the door, but in the center of the door, there's a circle, and the symbol inside, I'm pretty sure, is a white lotus, but it only shows the bottom half of it. But
you can actually see. Oh, it's like...
From this early
We don't
on.
Get the reveal yet.
Yeah.
In this scene.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So, they're banging on the door, and then this, like, grumpy dude opens the door. He's like, what do you want? Some fun facts about this guy. He's a butler to Piandao, and his name is actually Fat. That's it. His name is Fat.
Fat and there's Poon in this episode.
And he's voiced by Chris Butler, and he's a butler. So. So some more fun facts about Fat.
Is he fat? He's not particularly fat.
He's like a little stocky.
But he spars with Sokka.
Yeah.
He's fit.
Yeah, he's fit. He's not fat. Well, you could be both, I suppose. So, in the same way Sokka had to prove his worth to Piandao, or I guess we'll learn soon, Fat also had to prove his worth, and the way he did it was by cooking him a delicious meal that was so good that Piandao had to have him. And the two have been together ever since.
They're lovers.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no one else in this big mansion of his.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Piandao has reached enlightenment, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ship it.
And then Sokka basically tells Fat that I've come to train with the master. And then Fat says, you should know that the master turns almost everyone away. What did you bring to prove your worth?
He's like, what dish did you bring with you?
I think this is a very Asian thing to do. Like, when you visit someone's house, you need to bring, like, fruit or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Showing up empty-handed. Very rude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Sokka is, like, dumbfounded. He's caught flat-footed. And then the butler is like, all right, let's get over with this. And he takes him in.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I remember in Wan Chitong's library, at least Sokka, like, had something.
A rope.
This time he had nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to Master Piandao's room, and we see him practicing calligraphy.
So I'm sure we mentioned this in actually our very first episode, but Master Piandao is designed after Sifu Kisu,
mm-hmm.
Which, if we remember, is the martial arts consultant for the show, and, like, very, very instrumental and close to Brian and Mike. So, it's cool that he gets a character designed and after him.
Yeah. I think they originally wanted to make Master Paku look like Sifu Kisu, but then they ended up going with Piandao instead.
That's so much better, because Paku is, like, kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Piandao is way cooler.
Yeah. One more fun fact about Piandao. His name, Piandao, you guys can pronounce it better, translates to slashing saber, which is, like, one of the curved swords.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's a swordsman. It makes sense. But, interestingly, he actually uses, like, a straight bladed sword instead of, like, a saber. So,
Dao is sword, and it's like there's some curved swords that use that word, but Jin is a straight sword.
Yeah.
So, yeah, courtesy of my elementary school martial arts class.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and Pan Dao is very interesting. There's a lot of stuff out there about him and his life story. Well, first, he apparently also trained Zuko in the sword, which is why Zuko is very talented as well. But Pan Dao's life story is that he was born to two firebenders who were both considered prodigies in firebending, but they were ashamed that their only son was not a bender, so they abandoned him. And then he grew up and he was very nervous, you know, because he had all this trauma. And so he found a lot of peace in painting and calligraphy, which is why he's so interested in the arts, because they helped him relax. And then at the age of 10, he went to this Fire Nation boys camp where they realized, oh my gosh, he's a prodigy in the sword. And then they, I guess it sounds like they sent him into the army really young because he was so good at fighting.
He's a child soldier.
Basically, yeah, where he developed a vicious and fearsome sword fighting style, apparently. And he fought a lot of battles and he won them all. However, he just became a little bit, like, he just didn't want to fight anymore, and he wanted to pursue more enlightened activities such as the things that he does now. And so that's why he deserted the army, traveled the world, and just, I don't know, started the lifestyle he's living now, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of interesting because there are some parallels to, I guess, the guy who trained Aang in season one. Oh, Zhang Zhang.
Yeah.
Zhang Zhang and Che, who both deserted the army also, but they're actually much more outspoken against the Fire Nation, whereas Pian Dao, he deserted, and all, they tried to, like, come after him and stuff, but he defeated, like, an army of 100 Fire Nation soldiers himself or something like that, so then they decided, okay, we're gonna leave him alone. But I guess he's more just keeps to himself now. He doesn't actively speak out against the Fire Nation, so it's a little...
It's like, yeah, a Fire Nation tippy.
Exactly, exactly. But anyways, yeah, that's his whole life story.
Very cool. Yeah, and then coming back to Sokka, Sokka presents himself to Pian Dao. He's like, my name is Sokka, and I wish to be instructed in the way of the sword. And Pian Dao's like, oh, Sokka, that's an unusual name. And then Sokka's like, oh, yeah, no, it's normal for Fire Nation colonials. And then Pian Dao is like, let me guess, you've come from 100 miles away from your little village where you're the best swordsman in town, and you think you deserve to learn from the master. And then Sokka kind of reveals some honesty here, maybe some insecurity. He says, your butler told me that when I met you, I would have to prove my worth. But the truth is, I don't know if I'm worthy. And then this kind of convinces Pian Dao to take him on. He says, I see. And he hands him a sword and he says, well then, let's find out together how worthy you are. So then they go through a series of lessons that all occur in the span of one day, apparently. And Pian Dao says, the first thing you must learn is that your weapon is an extension of yourself. You must think of it as another part of your own body. And this is kind of interesting because this is actually, there might be a couple connections here, but actually Suki tells Sokka this way back when in the Kyoshi Warriors episode to think of the fan as the extension of your body, which is pretty cool. And then Pian Dao continues, the sword is a simple tool, but in the hands of a master, it becomes the most versatile of weapons. And just as the imagination is limitless, so too are the possibilities of the sword. Maybe it is a superior weapon to firebending.
Mm. Firebending is pretty limitless also.
Some would say more limitless.
But, you know, we gotta give him something.
Yeah.
Then we see a couple of scenes where Pian Dao is training Sokka. And the first one, he teaches some calligraphy and he calls it the art of writing. And then there's a second scene where he's sparring with Fat. And Fat's like all wrapped up in like, you know, armor and stuff, and they're sparring. And I just want to comment that, like, on the ground, there's actually a white lotus here where they're fighting.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And then in the background, there's like small lion turtle statues.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
Wow. I would love to visit this building.
Yeah.
Like, if you were just to be a little tourist of the Fire Nation, this would definitely be on your list of places to go.
Yeah.
It looks very pretty.
It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Exactly.
Yeah, but then Fat, like, hits the sword out of his hand and ends up getting chased around.
Yeah. Also, I just think it's so cute that Pian Dao trained Fat in how to in the way of the sword. Also, he's like, yeah, thanks for cooking for me. Also, let's do sword play together. Yeah, and then there's another lesson where Pian Dao takes Sokka to do painting, and which will apparently teach him how to hold the lay of the land in his mind. So he walks Sokka through a field blindfolded, and then he says, in battle, you only have an instant to take everything in. And then he removes the blindfold, and Sokka, he sees this beautiful view of a waterfall, but just for a split second.
Yeah, some fun facts about the waterfall. This is actually one of the places the creators visited when they were in Iceland. It's called the Gullfoss Waterfall. And if you see a side-by-side picture of the waterfall and what's, like, in the show, it's, like, remarkably similar. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then Sokka can only take it in for that 1 second. He's like, wow, it's, like, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then Pian Dao spins him around and is like, okay, now paint it. And then, you know, some time passes, Sokka says, I'm done. And he shows his drawing and includes two mountains and a rainbow that wasn't there, none of which was there, and no waterfall. So, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, this painting is actually done by one of the show writers. it's done by John O'Brien. And he does a whole bunch of other, like, all of Sokka's paintings are by him, actually.
Wait, really? Yeah. I was gonna say, Sokka has a lot of art opportunities that he really just does not do well on.
I'll give him credit. He definitely is, like, consistently bad.
Yeah.
But at least he's consistent.
Wait, I love that. That's such a fun job.
Some other facts about O'Brien, and I think you'll enjoy this, Grace. He's actually a Zutara fan, and he pushed for it in the writer's room.
So all the little gems are his doing.
Exactly.
The little moments.
And of all the elements, he said he would be an earthbender because his favorite character is Toph.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. And then I guess one more thing to call out, which I read online, is there's a goof here where he's only given black ink to paint the picture, but it ends up being super colorful, like there's a rainbow and everything. So kind of funny. But anyways, yeah, Pian Dao's like, you added a rainbow, and Sokka's like, is that okay? And he's like, so clearly he's never met anyone like Sokka.
Yeah. So now we're at the rock garden, and Pian Dao says, rock gardening teaches the warrior to manipulate his surroundings and use them to his advantage. And I just want to say there's more lion turtle statues in the background here. And so Sokka starts like rolling around boulders. And for those of you who don't know what a rock garden is, it's like a Japanese Zen rock garden. There's rocks that are like raked in very intricate designs. It's a very peaceful affair. But Sokka is just absolutely turning this place upside down. He's moving boulders around and creates a basically like lawn chair. And then he turns to Fat and he's like, hey, would you mind grabbing me a cold drink? And like Fat is just like so like blown away by the level of like just a non-care that Sokka has for the situation, that he's just like mouth agape. And then Pian Dao just turns to Fat and he's like, I'll take a slice of lemon in mine, please. So now we're at a point where Pian Dao kind of feels like Sokka is ready. And he says, you've had a first good day of training. So it wasn't one day, it was at least two.
Yeah, I guess the training is mostly one day, and then it takes multiple days to make the sword.
Yeah, which, you know, where is Sokka finding the time for this? And if they can only take 42 minutes out for bathroom breaks. And Pian Dao says, you're ready for a real sword. And that a sword must be an extension of yourself. So tomorrow you'll make your own sword. So he's really going to have Sokka smith the whole thing. And then Pian Dao says, choosing the correct material is the most important step in crafting a sword. And then it zooms in on all the different types of steel and like different raw materials that are required. And he says, you must trust your steel with your life. Choose carefully. And then Sokka is like looking at all of them and he basically turns and says, would it be possible for me to leave and bring back a special material for my sword? And then Pian Dao is like a little surprised and he smiles and he says, I wouldn't have it any other way. So some fun facts about Sokka's special sword. It's actually based on one of the real swords owned by Sifu Kisu. And his sword was modeled by a sword that he got in the Wuding Mountains. And so the concept of a sword even being made out of a meteorite is from an ancient Mongolian legend of Timur, which was also pretty cool.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was also reading that, I guess, in the past, swords and other tools have been forged from meteorite iron in the real world, and that it is believed that meteorite iron was the first iron ore used by humans before they were able to mine for terrestrial iron. And also, apparently, King Tut was entombed with a meteorite iron dagger on his breast. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. Because I guess it just is there, you know. It's easy to discover. So I think that's pretty neat. Anyway, so then Sokka comes back to the team because he needs to go fetch the meteorite materials. And Team Avatar has fallen asleep. It is mid-afternoon. They are not doing anything, taking a siesta, very directionless. And then Toph wakes up because she hears or feels that Sokka is coming. And he goes, hey, guys. And they all hug him in a group hug. It's been, you know, less than a day, but they missed him so much. And Katara is like, oh, my gosh, we've missed you. And Aang's like, say something funny. And I just thought this is kind of funny to, or it was a little bit funny to see their reactions to him coming back, because it's like, oh, Aang values Sokka most for his humor. Katara and values him most for leadership. And Toph just has a crush on him. Because Toph is like trying to act all nonchalant about his return. But then Sokka asks them for their help to get the meteor.
Yeah, so the gang returns to Pien Dao's place with the meteor, and Sokka introduces his friends as just other good Fire Nation folks. So that's not suspicious at all. And Sokka's like, do you think we can make a sword out of meteorite? And Pien Dao's like, we'll make a sword unlike any other in the world. Zing. Okay, so then there's a montage of Sokka going through the sword-making process, and it's like he's really toiling. You know, they like have to break apart the meteorite with the pickaxe and then like smelt it, and then it's really hard work. But in the end, they pour the ore out into a mold, and then they dunk that into the cold water, and there's this really satisfying like whoosh sound, and and they reveal the sword, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And just a fun fact here is that in reality, apparently it would take months or even up to a year to make a sword like this, to produce like a Japanese or Chinese style sword, due to the very just intensive production process. But yeah, I guess it seems like maybe this is just taking another day or two or three. I don't know. But yes, very condensed timeline for this.
Also, I don't think they dunk it into water because the water instantly vaporizes. I think it's oil. Because the melting point is much higher.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. I watched some documentary a long time ago.
Interesting.
Cool.
Anyway, so the Sokka has finished up making his sword, and he is in Pien Dao's hall. And he gives a whole big, nice speech. And Pien Dao says, Sokka, when you first arrived, you were so unsure. You even seemed down on yourself. But I saw something in you right away. I saw a heart as strong as a lion turtle and twice as big. And as we trained, it wasn't your skill that impressed me. You showed something beyond that. Creativity, versatility, intelligence. These are traits that define a great swordsman. You told me that you didn't know if you were worthy. And then Sokka looks up and he's like, I'm sorry, master. You're wrong. I am not worthy. I'm not who you think I am. I'm not from the Fire Nation. I'm from the Southern Water Tribe. I lied to you so that I could learn swordsmanship from you, and I'm sorry. And he gives the sword back. It's like, what the fuck?
Sokka, what are you doing?
And then Pien Dao starts attacking. I just have a comment here. So let's do some back of the napkin math, right? Like a heart the size of a lion turtle. One lion turtle is allegedly around 12 appas. An appa is around 100 momos. So that's a lot of momos. I also want to say there's a lot of white lotus like logos like everywhere in this hall. This is very on the nose.
Sounds like he's in a cult.
Yeah.
You can tone it down a little bit. It's very not subtle.
Yeah.
But yeah, also just Team Avatar is so shook. Like, what is he doing? He is blowing their cover so hard. They barely even know this guy. So then they fight. But before they fight, there's another scene of Iroh, you know, pretending to be this disheveled guy, but really he's just getting super jacked. And the guard drops more food for Ira on the floor, and Ira's, you know, like pawing at it like an animal again. But then when the guard leaves, he puts the bread in his mouth, his robe falls to the ground, and he is just massive. Like the most jacked person in this, well, maybe there's Combustion Man. Combustion Man's got a nice bod. but other than second to Combustion Man, Iroh is looking cut. And he starts doing one-handed pull-ups. Which, like, is that even possible? Like, do people really do that?
It is possible.
Okay.
It's hard.
Yeah. Sorry. I just saw the comment. Where is he getting all this protein? Like, is he eating, like, the rats? I don't know. I don't think they're giving him enough of food. It's kind of sketchy. It's either that or he's on some performance-enhancing drugs. But now we come back to the sword fight between Sokka and Piandao. And Sokka is on the back foot the whole time. And it's obvious that Piandao is not attacking him with the intent to kill. He's like kind of like almost testing Sokka's abilities to show Sokka his worthiness as a pupil. Because like every time he like cuts him or attacks him, he's like, "Oh, Sokka, good job using your environment." I'm like, "Come on, man." And then so after this whole montage where he's like complimenting Sokka while attacking him, finally Team Avatar jumps in and then Piandao just basically like stands up from his attack posture, like sheaths his sword, and it's like pretty obvious that like he's no longer like intent on killing Sokka. And this is a really cool scene, and some fun facts about this: Sifu Kisu choreographs all the fights, but like including this fight, and I thought it was worth mentioning because, you know, he's like very involved in this episode. And yeah, he's not the first person to fight his master. Katara is, so
yeah.
So
then they basically make up. You know, the Team Avatar approaches as Piandao, you know, is about to strike Sokka, so they come in, but then Piandao's like, "I think I'm a little old to be fighting the Avatar." And then he's like, "What? How did you know?" And Piandao's like, "Oh, I've been around a while. You pick things up." And then he says, "Of course, I knew from the beginning that Sokka was Water Tribe. You might want to think of a better Fire Nation cover name. Try Lee. There's a million Lees." This is funny because Zuko uses the name Lee and Zuko alone. So yeah.
Then isn't Lee a Fire Nation name then?
Yeah, it is.
Or is it just a but then if Zuko goes by Lee, in the Earth Kingdom.
Because right.
He's saying go by Lee, there are a million Lees. But maybe so Lee is maybe just a universal name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I guess the Fire Nation is like
has border. Taken over, yeah.
Yeah, and there's colonies, so...
Yeah, it would work in a colony, yeah.
Yeah. But then Katara's like, "Oh, but why would you want to agree to train someone from the Water Tribe?" And Piandao says...
"Oh, there's Ty Lee."
That's true.
And Lee and Lo, but I guess that's maybe their first name.
Yeah, it's unclear.
Yeah.
I don't know if Lee is supposed to be a first name or a last name. Is Zuko supposed to be a first name? Yeah. So I guess people go by their first names. Because, you know, in, like, Chinese, they're like, people go by their... Well, last name comes first. I don't know, anyways.
Yeah.
Don't know what Lee means.
And then Piandao says, "The way of the sword does not belong to any one nation. Knowledge of the arts belongs to us all." And, yeah, this also rings true to, like, a lot of the wisdom that Iroh has told to Zuko, too, about how, you know, you can learn from all the four nations and bending styles. Some various, like, you know, White Lotus wisdom right here. And he says, "Sokka, you must continue training on your own. If you stay on this path, I know that one day you will become an even greater master than I." Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Very cool. Especially if, you know, he's this good already on after 4 days.
I feel like Sokka's real master is the Mechanist. He feels much closer and more in line with, like, who he is as a strategist and a creative, like, engineer.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And he, like, does learn from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
So
he's the only one with multiple masters.
Wait, that's so cool. Yeah.
I guess, well, Aang has multiple masters.
Yes, but he's Avatar.
So. Yeah, that's natural for him.
I guess Sokka's non-bending style affords him the ability to have multiple masks. Because he's not boxed in to any one thing.
Yeah. So not having bending actually leads to the infinite light. Possibilities. Yeah. Well, that's so cool. But yeah, so then Team Avatar starts to leave, and then Fat calls out after them and gives them a White Lotus Paisho tile as something to remember their visit by. And then when they look back and the door closes, they finally see the entire White Lotus design, I think, outside of the Fire Nation insignia. So it's like it's combining the two, so alluding to some future harmony. And Sokka, and then, you know, they're just... Everything's happy. It's kind of a happy ending. And Sokka gives Toph some of the space earth to bend because he thinks it might be fun. And then Toph goes, sweet. And she starts making all these different shapes. And one of the shapes is a splat, which is the Nickelodeon logo. Mm-hmm. And then they walk away and everything's jolly. Which doesn't happen that often, so it's kind of nice.
Wait, could Toph just have, like, bended him a sword? He wouldn't have to go through all that.
Oh my gosh, he totally could! That's really funny. But he had to, you know, for the process.
Yeah,
Otherwise, it's not his. Not an extension of himself.
Oh my god, the entire, like, art of sword making is just instantly obsolete.
Yeah, that was back when they had, you know, kind of, like, work ethic. And that, you know, then in the modern world, there would be none of this laboring over your own sword business. Anyways, and that concludes this episode, so let's just get on to our ratings.
All right, I'll give this episode a 6, between a 6 and a 7, but I'll give it a 6. I think it's definitely an above average episode. Sokka gets a moment to shine, which is always fun. The whole, like, sword making process is very cool. Pian Dao is a great concept. Also, the fight scenes, I think, were really good as well. So definitely an enjoyable episode. But yeah, I just feel like the Sokka's problem this episode wasn't super realistic, kind of came out of nowhere. And it's cool to watch this episode maybe once every few years, but I don't think it's a fun episode that I would necessarily come back to very often, because maybe it gets, like, a little boring sometimes.
I think I would give this a 7. Yeah, because as you said, the world bending is just really, really cool. I think this entire first half of season 3, it feels to me like it's just like a lot of nervous energy, because they know they're going to go into this final conflict. Well, we don't know that the Day of Black Sun's going to fail yet. So it really feels like we're just all preparing for this final conflict, and every episode character gets, like, their own moment to, like, really internalize, reflect, and prepare, and this is just, like, Sokka's moment to do that. And yeah, I don't know, just a very cool episode with a lot of tie-ins into the rest of the episode, and I don't know, Fat is really cool.
Yeah, I didn't pay super close attention. I didn't realize he was the one also sparring with Sokka, so this guy is very talented. Underrated character. Yeah, I think I'll also give it a 6. Basically agree with everything Anand said, because I think it is above average, but nothing about it is drawing me back. Like, I don't think Pian Dao is the most, like, he's not, like, a lovable, like, master, or, like, you know, someone we grow very attached to. Sokka's thing kind of feels like it's a little bit forced, but it kind of has to happen also. Like, he needs to just, like, get really good at fighting. And then things happen really fast because they have to. But it's overall definitely entertaining, and I like the fight scenes a lot. So, yeah, 6. But yeah, that concludes this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed our discussion of Sokka's Master. We'll be releasing this season every first Wednesday of the month, so we'll see you next month for What's Up a Wednesdays, where we'll be discussing The Beach. If you want to stay up to date on when we release or submit thoughts or questions on the episodes, be sure to follow us on Instagram at @whats_appa, or you can email us at whatsappapod@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like this episode, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.